This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we are here this morning because we want to know you more. We have a desire to go a little bit deeper in our experience, our faith, our knowledge and our life in you. And Lord, so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide us, that you will take us by hand, because sometimes it is a scary place to take that step to go a little deeper. Sometimes this river of life runs in directions we cannot control and we do not know where it's going. But we know its end is always in you. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help us. Take our hand this morning and help us to go a little deeper so that we may know you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I want to share around living for God. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Philip shared with us very powerfully that our purpose is to live for God's glory. We read here in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If you missed that sermon, please, it's for free on the internet. You can listen to that. Today, I want to share how do we live for God. In Philippians 1, verse 21, we read, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I want us to think about that for a moment. Just think about that statement. Statement that Paul made very powerfully. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Just think about that for a moment. Question this morning is, how do we live for God? How do we live for God? The obvious follow-up question will be, are we actually living for Him today? The first question would be, how do we do this? And if we think about that for a moment, the next obvious question would be, but am I actually doing it? And if you think about that for a moment, it will lead us all to the core question, and that is, am I really willing to live for God? And that's really what the Word of God does to each and every one of us. If we pause to think, to meditate upon its meaning, it will lead us to that core questions of life. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts to the divide between the soul and spirit, the intentions of the heart. And so to this morning, the question is not just how do we live God, but am I actually willing to live for Him? So how do we live for God? Firstly, it's a very personal matter. We read here in Philippians, Paul says, for me. It's a very personal thing to live for God. Religion tries to force you to do something, to become like everyone else around you, the way you dress, the way you worship, and how you do. But true Christianity starts with a personal response to a personal God. You see, the first step to live for God is you need to give your life to God. You need to bow your knee and you need to make Him king. You need to surrender your life to God. The way to live for God is not possible unless you have come to this point where you've decided to give your life to Jesus, to surrender yourself to God and to make Him king. That's the first and the most important step to live for God. Salvation is a personal response to God's love and grace. God gave His life to save us. It's a very personal thing. God gave His life to save us, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yet it is deeply personal, because each and every one of us need to respond to God's personal life, love, and invitation. God gave His life to save us. It is very personal to God because He sent His only Son. It's very personal to Christ because He gave His life. And it's very personal to us because we need to respond to it in giving our very own life to God. And then what is so powerful is the way God responds to those who respond to Him. He responds to those in a very personal way. He says, I make you my own. I adopt you into my family. You are now my child. You are now a co-heir with Jesus, my only begotten. And I give you a new name, Revelation chapter 2. It's a very personal thing, the salvation. It is personal to God because God paid a very high price. He paid a very high price to save us. So it is a very personal matter to God. And then to top it all off, to make it even more personal, is He pours Himself into us through His Holy Spirit. He pours Himself into us. It's a very personal thing. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20 we read, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, my favorite English word in the Bible, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, after we have surrendered ourselves in response to God's love for us, the next thing that we need to do is we need to follow Him. We need to follow Him because we no longer belong to ourselves. We now belong to God. Mark 8 verse 34 to 35 says, and Jesus, calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, said to them, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sakes and the gospel will save it. So how do we follow Him? Spend a lot of time on that. Should know it by now. We follow His word. We follow His teaching. We follow His example and we follow His voice. That's how we follow God. That after you have surrendered your life to God, after you have responded to His very personal sacrifice for you, and you personally surrender your life in response to that, we follow Him. That's how we live for Him. We follow Him. We follow His teaching, His ways, His example, and His voice. As a matter of fact, the test of faith and relationship with God has always been and still is obedience. That is the test whether you truly love God. That is the test if you truly know Him. God says, Jesus said, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 2, it says, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And by this we know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought also to walk just as Jesus walked. That's Christianity. How is this possible? Well, in your own strength, it is impossible. But in Christ, all things are possible.
Why is this? Why is it only possible in Him to become like Him? Because He has given us His Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God in us that enables us to become more like Jesus. Without Him, we can do nothing. Remember the vine? You are the branches. I am the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. Just like a branch cannot be fruit of itself, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's a personal thing. It's a relationship with God. Everything about Christianity is about a personal relationship with God. It's in Him that we have life. It's in Him that we abide. And it's in Him that we have fruit, that we change. That's why 2 Corinthians says, but we all with unveiled faces contemplating the God, the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit of God. The more I see Jesus in my relationship with Him, the more I see who He is, the Spirit of God changes me to become more like Him. So Christianity is a journey of change. It's a journey of change. From one level of glory to the next, from one degree to the next, you will change. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you something else. I will change you. And that's the journey of Christianity, the adventure. It's not me changing, it's simply my desire to be changed. It's God in us that changes us. Romans 8 verse 11 says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The context is so powerful in Romans 8, you can read it at home. But it says, because of the Spirit of God in us, we should not live according to the desires of the flesh. But because of the Spirit in us, we must live according to His desires. And therefore, we will not satisfy the desires of the flesh, but we will satisfy the desires of the Spirit. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so it continues very powerfully. Because the Holy Spirit has empowered us to overcome the flesh. And so the Holy Spirit is now within us, and the fruit of it in Galatians 5 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, the Spirit in us changes us. So God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need to follow Him and to become more like Him through the Spirit that's in us. In 2 Peter 1 we read, His divine power has granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us these His precious and very great promises, that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. How powerful is that scripture? Everything is there. Everything is there. God, by His grace, made it possible to live for Him, to become more like Him, and to overcome sin and its sinful desires. God's grace is amazing. It is a lie that you cannot overcome sin. The only one that will tell you that you cannot become more like Jesus, that you cannot change and you cannot overcome, it's the devil himself. He is the father of lies. And it's either God lying or the devil lying, but somebody is lying here. And I will put all that I possess, if I was a betting man, and who's telling the truth? I don't even need to be a betting man. I will put everything that I have that God is not lying. It's the devil. And God says, I have given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 24 says, I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you have learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is the truth. That is the truth. The good news is God has enabled you to do this, not in your own strength. You only need to do this. Say, God, I give you everything. I will follow you. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. This leaves us with the third question. Do you really want to? This is the greatest hurdle. In all my years of ministries, after 23 years of being in the ministry, I've discovered this is the biggest hurdle in Christians' lives. Do you really want to follow Him? Most of the people that I counsel because of internal problems and challenges in themselves, in their marriages, in their relationships, boils down to this one thing. Do you really want to follow Him? Have you really surrendered everything? Or are you still holding on to this fleshly desires? Is there still something that you love more? Is there some reason you're not willing to bow your knee and follow Him? Because I cannot help you if you're still here. I can only point you to Jesus. It's the only help I can give you anyway. I can't help you, man. I can't love your wife. I'm not allowed to. But you need to bow your knee. You need to surrender your life and follow Him. Because if you do, you will forgive and love her. Simple. If you don't, you will struggle for years on end. This is it. Sorry, if you come to me for counseling, that is what you will hear. I've tried for 23 years all the other ways. It doesn't work. Are you willing to surrender everything and follow Him? Because He will do the rest. So what hinders us? What hinders us from following Him? Four things, I believe. First is unbelief. We don't really believe what the Word of God says. We don't really believe it. And it's either because we believed a lie, or we've been deceived, or we just can't get ourselves to believe it. The second thing is we love ourselves too much. Because to follow Jesus, you need to deny yourself. You need to die to yourself, and then you need to follow Him and not your own ways. And sometimes we just love ourselves too much that we don't really come to this point where we surrender everything. And the third reason that hinders us to follow God with everything is we love the world too much and the things in the world. Because we know Jesus will probably lead us out of the world. But we love these things so much. We don't really want to let go of it. And then the fourth thing that hinders us is the fear of man. We fear man. Or we fear lack. We fear that if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to lose something, and we fear this lack. Or if we follow Jesus, what will man say? What will my parents say? What will my friends say? And so sometimes fear hinders us. But the Word of God says perfect love casts out fear. I believe that if you've dealt with these four things, you can move into the sweet spot of life. There's a place in life that I've discovered where there is no fear. Where there is purpose, where there is peace, and that everything that we do from a place of love. It's called the sweet spot of life. There is purpose, there is no fear, there is peace, and everything is done from a place of love. All of us can be in that place. Imagine life with purpose, without fear, with absolute peace, and everything motivated by love. That's the life God wants for us. That life can only be found in Jesus. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, in that one verse, there is purpose, there is no fear, there is peace, and there is love. It's the sweet spot of life. You cannot find it in the world. Oh, you can go for riches, you can go for fame, you can go for power, and you can look at all these people who have it. And they still divorce, they're still on drugs, and they still commit suicide. Because they can't find the sweet spot. As a matter of fact, the more wealth you get, the more fame you get, the more power you have, the more does your trouble. So don't run after that. If God chooses to bless you with that, praise Him for it. But don't pursue it. Because it can only be found in Him. But it always starts with the simple thing. You need to give your life to God. You've got to surrender everything. Every aspect of your life. And after you surrender it, you need to get up and follow Him. Follow His ways. In that, you'll have life. You'll have peace. And everything around you will be motivated by love. And then all these great and precious promises will be yours. Now ask the ushers to hand out communion for us. As we contemplate Matthew 6 verse 33 that we know so well. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. More of this next time. I have to stop here. But the question this morning is simply this. Are you willing to live for God? If you are, you need to surrender everything. Surrender your life to Him. Doesn't mean you need to give anything away. It doesn't mean you need to stop doing anything. What it means is you make Him king and then you follow Him and He will tell you what you need to stop and what you need to change. You don't need to first do anything. You just first need to give Him everything. And then He will show you. And whatever He shows you, that you do, and you will find life. Yes, you will need to deny yourself. Yes, you'll need to take up your cross and die to yourself. And yes, you'll need to follow His will and not your own. But in doing that, you will have life. It's the story of my life. It's the story of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions and billions of people all over the world. It's the story of so many people here today. You are here because you've surrendered everything and you have tasted that God is good. And that's why we keep on following Him. Because His word is true. And we have found that place of purpose, that place of no fear, that place of peace, and that place of love. That place is only in Him. If you allow Him to come into your whole life, in every area of your being, you will know the sweet spot. Philippians 1 verse 21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." That is life. That is life. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that You gave Yourself for us so that we may have life. Not the way the world gives, but life the way You give. Life abundantly that overflows, that cannot be contained. Life that gives peace and joy and hope and eternal life. It's only found in You. Lord, You've proven to us how much You love us. You gave Yourself. Selfishly sacrificing Yourself so that we may know You. God, I pray that we will choose to put our trust, our faith, and our hope in You. God, I pray that we will take that step a little deeper as You're calling us this morning, just to go a little deeper, just to surrender everything. For some, as we are praying, this will be your first time. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you to surrender everything. If that is you this morning, you want to give your life to God for the very first time, while all the eyes are closed, I want you to respond and say, "God, here I am. I want to surrender everything. Not 80%, not 90%, everything gone. I want to give You everything." If that is you today, I want you to respond to God by raising your hand. Say, "God, here I am. I want to give You everything." Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone? You can drop it again. Is there anyone else? Thank you. You can drop that. I see that. Is there anyone else? Today is the first day that you surrender everything. Not 60%, not 100%, or 80%, but 100%. This is where it all starts. You cannot get to the sweet spot without giving everything. If that is you, I'm going to pray with you in a moment. This is what this whole day is about. It's where heaven rejoices more over the 99 righteous, but over the one sinner that repents. That's really what repentance is. I say, "God, take everything. Take it all." For some of us, it's a recommitment. We've done this before, but we've drifted. Things in this world or the concerns of this life is distracted from our surrender and commitment to live for God 100%. And if that is you this morning, I want you to respond also to God by just raising your hand and say, "God, here I am. I want to give You everything again." Just where you are, you can just raise your hands. You can drop it again. It's just between you and God. Say, "God, here I am. Lord, I want to recommit myself to You. I want to give You everything again. I want to live for You." Maybe you are struggling. Maybe you are struggling with stuff in your life. Maybe you're struggling with sin. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. Maybe you have fallen trapped to the lies of the devil that says you cannot and you've lost hope. God is saying to you today, it's a lie. You can be free. You can have life. That is, you just respond to Him. Say, "God, here I am. Lord, I want to give You everything. I want to put my faith in You and not in the devil. not on the world says in his wisdom, but in yours. I want to give you my life. I want to give you everything. I want to ask you to do something bold. I want to pray with you if that's you. I want to take a step of faith. Not be bound by fear of man, what they will think or say, but just to come forward before God. I want us all to stand, but I want those who've raised their hand, I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward and I want you to act on it and say, God, I'm giving you my life and I'm not ashamed to do it before men. I want to give you everything. And for some of you, that will break the fear of man in your life. Right here, right now. So I want to ask, if you raised your hand, as everybody stands, everybody can stand. If you've raised your hand in response to God, I want you to come forward. We want to pray with you. So come quickly. For some of us, it's to refocus. It's to refocus in this festive season to live for God. As you go into this amazing time of rest and family and fun and all kinds of stuff, just to refocus. Maybe as you prepare for next year, as you think about next year, like you say, next year, God, I'm going to give you everything. But don't wait a month. Do it today. Do it today. If that is you, if you've responded, I'm going to give you a few moments. I want you to come forward. As I read this scripture again in 1 Corinthians that says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. This is where it all starts. This is where it all starts, the intention of our hearts. It says, God, I want to live for you. This is where it starts. God will do the rest. God will do the rest through His Spirit as He responds to our hearts to give Him everything. I want us just to worship together as we partake of communion. And I want us to commit ourselves today, everyone, those who are in front and those who are still in their seats. Let us make a commitment in response to God's love for us, in response to His grace, by giving His Son so that we may have life. This is what communion is. We acknowledge His sacrifice. And we say, God, I choose to accept what You've done for me. And I give You my life. I make this part of me. And I'm not ashamed to be part of You. So let's partake of this together. Father, I thank You for Your sacrifice. Lord, Your body that was broken for us at great price to give us life. Lord, we thank You for this. May we never forget as we eat together Your flesh. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Lord, thank You for Your blood. Your blood was spilled so that we may be free. So that we may be alive, life. So that we may become the children of God. Lord, we thank You for this. And we choose to believe it. As we drink this cup, we declare that we have faith in what You say You have done for us through Your Son. And that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life with You forever. So we drink this cup and we thank You. We worship You for it. As we drink this cup, let us thank God. In Your own words, where You're standing, just thank Him. Just thank Him for what He's done for you. I want to ask that we all just to stand and we're going to worship together, and if the facilitators and the small group leaders and the leaders can just help us to pray, you can come forward and help us. The rest of us, let's worship the song and then we're going to end the meeting.
Your love has ravished my heart and taken me. And all I want is to be
This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You